No matter where you are, it's Texas Standard Time on this 27th day of May, 2020. I'm David Brown. Happy Wednesday, one and all. Great to have you with us. Information is a powerful thing. Too much of it can be awkward, especially in an era of social media. Too much information could be dangerous, too, an axiom held closely by monarchs, tyrants, and autocrats since time immemorial. We know this by how the Founding Fathers tried to incorporate freedoms of press and speech back in 1791, but we still see signs of it in efforts to wall off the internet in many countries today. But how much is too much? A few weeks back, when some local election officials in Texas began suggesting that voters ask for mail-in ballots to avoid having to risk catching the coronavirus at the polls, the Attorney General of Texas stepped in. AG Ken Paxton issued an opinion stating not only that fear of coronavirus was not a qualification for a mail-in ballot, but suggesting that those who recommend that voters get one might be themselves violating the law. This led to the current ping-pong game in the courts, a fight that now involves both the Texas Supreme Court and the federal courts, too. On social media, many began advising fellow Texans to request a mail-in ballot and claim a disability, since the form does not require people requesting such a ballot to elaborate on what their disability is, and county clerks don't have the tools or resources to inquire. A case of too much information? Apparently, the Texas Secretary of State's office now has decided to enter the information wars, too, publishing an 8-page document of protocols for safe in-person voting, a move that's difficult to separate from the ongoing battle over who gets to vote by mail in Texas and who doesn't. James Barragan has been following all of this for the Dallas Morning News. James, welcome back to The Standard.
Hey, David. It's good to be back.
As the debate over mail-in voting plays out in the courts, this document from the Texas Secretary of State, Ruth Hughes, comes out. A blueprint for what state leaders see as the way to provide safe in-person voting. Who's the audience for this document? Is it election officials or voters in general?
I think it's a little bit of both. They said in their 8-page document that it was for voters, it was for poll workers, it was for poll watchers. And then I think also that in some ways, it's also a part of the audience is the judges and the justices who are going to be deciding these elections lawsuits. You know, the state has been very clear that they don't want mail voting to happen, or they argue that it makes it easy to commit voter fraud. And the reality is that there has been voter fraud through mail voting in the past, and that's the way that it mostly happens. It's not through in-person voting, but it's very minimal compared to the millions and millions of votes cast in every election year in Texas. So the state, though, is arguing we can make in-person voting safe so that we don't have to expand mail voting beyond what we have right now. And that's basically what they laid out in the document that we're talking about.
So about these safety measures, what's included? What are they? What does the Secretary of State say?
So there's calls for having hand sanitizer, disinfectant wipes at the ready for voters and for workers. There's also calls for markers on the ground to designate 6-foot barriers so that everybody can maintain the social distance. Voting stations are going to be 6 feet apart from one another. Face coverings are not required, but they are encouraged. And that's the sort of dance that state officials have been doing all along, of course, on face coverings. But there are two exceptions to that. If there is a poll worker who is your voter assistant, meaning that they're helping you to vote because, say, you don't understand the language or you need help marking up your ballot because of a disability, they are going to be required to wear a face covering. Or if you're doing curbside voting, probably, again, because of a disability, those workers are also going to be required to have face coverings. So those are some of the prescriptions that are in the guidance. Of course, voting rights advocates say that those are still not enough, that the only safe way to do this is to expand mail ballots. And so we're going to have a resolution, I think, in the next couple of weeks here to see what the courts are going to say.
Is there anything in these protocols that suggests that poll workers would be taking temperatures at the doors? Can someone show up with symptoms but request curbside voting, for example? How does this play out?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that it's important to say that these are, and the Secretary of State said that these are the minimum requirements, that there's nothing stopping counties from adding more additional requirements. So right now, the actual election workers will be screened by the county election administrators, meaning that if they have any symptoms, they won't be allowed to come in and be poll workers. Voters, on the other hand, have a little bit of a trickier situation in that they are going to be self-screening themselves, and if they have any symptoms, then they have to sort of scramble at the end of the day and try to get an emergency ballot, which the voting rights advocates have already said. It's like, how is that even going to happen? If it's past the deadline to apply for a different way of voting, how is that exactly going to work? And I think we're going to hear more about how that's supposed to work in the next couple of weeks, and that might factor into the decision from the courts. But I think again, going back to this is the minimum that the Secretary of State has said. There's nothing stopping a county from saying, hey, you can screen voters at the entrances. But that, I think, is going to be up to the counties and the local governments to make that happen. And of course, that's going to cost some money. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
There's a whole lot more detail in James Barragán's story for the Dallas Morning News. We'll link to it at texasstandard.org. James, thanks again.
Hey, thank you.